Okay, this is, we are now going to part two for about vinegar and make the Shema conclusion. And just to review what we did the first time, first time we spoke about the different types of vinegar that there are, and how, you know, the different ones there are, the ingredients they use, and the two ways of making vinegar, either in generators or acetators. And then we finished by speaking about how vinegar is concentrated. And how that potentially, the way concentrating of the vinegar, which essentially removes water from the vinegar, could lead to, that water could then be reused in the factory for diluting the alcohol when turning grain neutral spirit into white distilled vinegar, or when we want to take finished vinegar that comes out at 12% strength and 120 grains and water it down to the 5% strength that is used for consumers. Okay, so this water from the concentration might be used over there. That was our first way that we mentioned how the water used in the vinegar might be trafe. I mean, as I mentioned then, most companies that make vinegar make wine vinegar and other types as well. So that is to say, is the wine vinegar is usually trafe. It's tam yayin. We'll talk about that later today. It's tam yayin. And then the other vinegar, let's say the apple cider vinegar, is kosher. But the water that you use, the water from the wine vinegar might end up, from the concentration of, might end up in the kosher vinegar. Now, I'll just mention, it's not so common to do concentration for the finer vinegars. The concentration is usually just for white distilled vinegar. The other ones, if you'd concentrate them, you'd also lose some of the flavor profile, so I'm not sure that those would be concentrated. But let's move on. Now, the second thing is like this. When you make vinegar, then there's lots of vapors coming out of the factory. All right? And I have four of them that I'm going to mention. Two of them are the more obvious ones. One is you start with alcohol, and then you create acetic acid. Both of those are very volatile. There's a lot of, you know, vapors coming out of everything, but in a tank covered with alcohol, there's vapors of alcohol going out, and the same thing from a vinegar tank. Those vapors are getting into the air. And then there's two other chemicals. One is acid aldehyde and one is ethyl acetate. Ethyl acetate is a combination of ethyl alcohol and acetic acid. It's an ester of those two. The one that's most sensitive to my understanding is acid aldehyde. Acid aldehyde is an intermediary between between ethanol and acetic acid. So as the alcohol turns into acetic acid, it in interim is an acid aldehyde, and acid aldehyde is noxious and potentially dangerous to people and all kinds of horrible stuff. Once it turns into vinegar, it's perfectly fine, but in the acid aldehyde form, it's not. So in some vinegar factories, they choose, either they have environmental reasons of their own or legal requirements in their municipality, that they have to prevent those vapors, the vapors from those chemicals, from leaving the factory and affecting the atmosphere. Okay, because they have to prevent those vapors from getting out of the factory and affecting everyone in the neighborhood. Okay, so a common way to deal with that, to trap those vapors, is to use something called a vapor scrubber. A vapor scrubber is this tall chamber, like a tube. Imagine a tube filled with packing. Packing is actually a little bit like the beechwood shavings, but of course not made out of beechwood. It'll be made out of plastic or metal or something like that. It's these little pieces that are used, again, we think about them in columns, but they use these little pieces, like little circles or funny shapes, like horseshoes, all different kinds of funny shapes. And the idea of them is that they've got lots of surfaces to them, and you fill up this chamber with these pieces of packing. And what happens is you sprinkle water from the top of the packing, and it drips out. Okay, so this is the packing, the water drips down through the packing, and at the same time the air vents that you have from the different parts of the factory catching all these vapors. Like on top of each of the tanks, you'll have something to capture the air that's escaping out of there, the vapors that are escaping out of there, and those are fed through the bottom of the vapor scrubber. So the air is coming up from the bottom of the scrubber, the water is pouring down. And so what happens is, because the packing is there, the air and the water each are broken up into a million different streams of which way they're going to go, and the air and the water have lots of contact, which is to say is the water had many goes from having just a simple stream, one simple flow of water, or many flows of water, to hundreds of flows. And so it causes a lot of surface area, which is what happens is the chemicals in the air become diluted in the water. These chemicals, like the acetaldehyde, get diluted into the water because they have all this choice of contact. And what happens is, the air coming out of the top of the scrubber, again, the air comes in from the bottom and makes its way up through the top, the air going out of the top doesn't have any chemicals in it. And all the chemicals end up in the bottom, in the water that's dripping out the bottom. Okay, so that's a great idea, because it solves the problem. Now our vapor is getting out of the factory, have no chemicals in there, which is great, that was the goal. we got a problem. Now we have the water that's filled with these chemicals. What are we going to do with that? Now we have this water that has the problem in it. We've transferred the problem from the air into the water. Well, the answer is, that water is perfectly suited to be used in the factory to dilute alcohol when we want to make grain-neutral spirits, when we want to make grain-neutral spirits into white distilled vinegar, or when we want to take vinegar and water it down for consumer use. And the reason is because in the air, these chemicals could affect somebody. They can be dangerous or uncomfortable for people to breathe in and when they're inhaled. But when they're in vinegar, they're perfectly fine. In vinegar, they're either perfectly suited for drinking, like the vinegar itself. We have acetic acid in there. So what's the problem? That's what vinegar is, no problem. Or alcohol in there. Or when we put it into the tank that's going to create vinegar, the acetaldehyde, which is the intermediate stage becoming vinegar, it'll continue on and it'll become vinegar itself. What's the problem? It won't bother anybody in the slightest for it to be in over there. Okay, so if this water coming out of the vapor scrubber is a great thing to use for the other parts of the factory that need water, and again, we need lots of water in these two parts of the factory, and so the mashgiach needs to first figure out, is there a vapor scrubber here? Do you have any requirement, like legal requirements, or your own personal environmental choices to use a vapor scrubber? And if you do, what happens to the water from the vapor scrubber? Trace it out to see where it goes and where it's being reused in the factory. I guess it can go in the drain, but it would be a waste to put into the drain, and most likely is that it's going to be reused in one of those two places that I mentioned. Okay, so we've talked about now, we've now mentioned our two different ways that water in the factory could end up being not kosher. Okay, now one last thing to talk about of the production, and that is pasteurization. And that is that when we make, if someone has juice or milk or lots of other foods, then you need to pasteurize them to keep them from spoiling. Because the bacteria or the microorganisms, well, I don't know if they're bacteria, the microorganisms like apple juice and milk just like you do, and so they'll eat it up and spoil your food. Okay. From that perspective, there's no need to pasteurize vinegar, because vinegar is so acidic that it doesn't hold any of these bacteria that cause spoilers. That's not a problem. There's no need to pasteurize for that reason. However, lots of factories will pasteurize vinegar anyhow, and that's because vinegar has in it a certain cloudiness. You call it the mother of vinegar. And by pasteurizing, we'll remove that mother, and therefore, that's why people will pasteurize it. Some companies don't pasteurize, they just add in sulfites and that, or other chemicals, and that gets rid of this mother. But if they are pasteurizing it, then of course it's heated above the outside of this bite. And other than that, that would be like the only place in a vinegar factory that there would be heat, is for the pasteurization, again, to remove the mother of the vinegar. And if it's true, then of course, what we have to care about is that you shouldn't use the same one for wine vinegar as you do for other vinegars, because the wine vinegar is treif, usually, and the other ones are presumably kosher. So if there can be pasteurization, even though, again, you wouldn't logically think there's pasteurization because there's no need to prevent spoilage, but there could be pasteurization for this reason, and therefore you'd have to pay attention if the pasteurizer is being used for kosher and treif. Okay, so now we finish with the different parts of the production of vinegar. First we talk about what vinegar is, then we talk about how it's produced, and these different parts of the production. Now I'm going to go through some of the halachic issues that are particular or unusual for vinegar or vinegar factories. In brief, we'll just go through them briefly. Okay, and that was like this. The first group of things has to do with kavush. And that is, as a rule, it takes 24 hours for kavush to happen. You put a liquid into a container, it takes 24 hours until kavush puts time in and out of it. One exception to that rule is that if food is very salty, to the point that it's like tzir, which is a fish fry, then time goes out very quickly. In 6 to 18 minutes, it's called Kadesh Yama al Ishri Yasiach. So the Mechaber says that that quick kavush happens not just for tzir, but it also happens for a davar charef, like vinegar. Okay? And so according to him, there would be lots of places in the factory where there'd be issues of kavush, because kavush or vinegar would happen in just a couple of minutes. But the Shach says, no, that kavush, even for davar charef, takes 24 hours. And many, if not most, or if not all, the American Ashkochas are make like this Shach based on the Mishmura, and they say that kavush of vinegar or of the davar charef takes 24 hours. Now, as a rule, that's good news for cases of b'dieved, because when something happens, if kavush takes 24 hours for time to get in, and takes 24 hours for time to get out, then by the time the time gets out, the kli is already in the binyamin. Because if I put it in at 9 o'clock, and doesn't come out till 9, and the time doesn't come out for 24 hours till 9 o'clock tomorrow, by that time the kli obviously hasn't been used for trade for 24 hours, so it's always in the binyamin. So that's usually good news b'dieved for kavush. However, the din is that if the kosher food is charef, we don't care what the trait is, if the kosher food is charef, then there's another principle called mechayel l'shvach, which means that the davar charef somehow makes it that the eine ben yomer time that was in the kli is now as if it's l'shvach, as if it's all of a sudden it's a good time. So the kavush, when we put vinegar into a container, it takes 24 hours for the time to come out. We make it to say that it takes 24 hours. But if that happened, then it would make the food asa b'dieved. Okay, usually, if the kavush is b'dieved as mutter, in the case of charef, it's asa b'dieved. So, an example of that is, if we were to concentrate white distilled vinegar in the same concentrator that had been used for non-kosher wine vinegar. And I'm not really sure if anybody concentrates kosher wine vinegar, but let's just imagine that that would be such a thing. So it sits here for more than 24 hours. So the kavush of the white distilled vinegar is going to takes 24 hours for it to draw out the wine's time into the white distilled vinegar. But when the 24 hours are up, the charef will be it'll be usher because I've been mechayel l'shvach. Okay. Now another thing about kavush is that kavush, if you have liquid in a container and the liquid is sloshing around, like think about a tanker truck, you know, it's sloshing around in there, it's moving around, or there's a mixer in the middle of a tank, then kavush still happens even though the things are moving around. But if different liquids are in the tank, not the same liquid just moving around, but let's say there's a pipe and liquids are flowing through it, then even if it goes for 24 hours in a row, there's no kavush. It has to be the same liquid for 24 hours. So think about it. In a generator, the liquid never sits, the same liquid never sits there for 24 hours because it's constantly being circulated from the bottom back up to the top. It drips to the bottom, goes out from the bottom, and we assume that in that case, that's not considered to be one tank. It's considered to be as if it's in and out of the tank. And therefore, even though it's in there for 48 hours, that's not going to be an example of kavush. Now we'll talk soon about a different thing called machnisa l'kiyum, that it might be. But kavush, it's not going to be because it's not going to be considered kavush because it never sits there. The same liquid doesn't sit there for 24 hours. Okay, now let's move on to some of the issues that do with stam yayin. Okay, the most common thing that's not kosher in vinegar company is the things that are problematic because of stam yayin. That means is there was wine or alcohol came from wine or wine vinegar, all the same idea. All the ideas that they are made from stam yayin. So the cool about that is that if something became trade from kavush or stam yayin, then you could cash it by milu v'iruy. Milu v'iruy means is you fill a tank up with water, you fill the container up with water, you use it. It sits here for 24 hours, or at least 24 hours, you drain it out, and then you do two more times. Altogether, you did three fillings, each one was at least 24 hours, and that kashes the kli. You can't do that if it had been covered from other trade. But from from stam yayin. You can do that. You can use any liquid, except that you can't use the liquid that through which it became treif. I mentioned this last time. So if we were kashing, doing milu even for an acetator, we would not be able to use alcohol or vinegar to do that, because even though these are kosher ones, and that was treif, we can't use it because alcohol or vinegar is the way it became treif. We'd have to use something else like water or something else. So you might think, oh, no problem, I'll just put in alcohol or vinegar. That's not going to do the trick. Okay. Now, stam yayin has a... So that was a kula about stam yayin. That kavash of stam yayin, we can kash it with milu v'iri. But there's also a chumrah of something called machnis alikiyam. Machnis alikiyam literally means like long-term storage. Okay, and that's like this. If we have a tank that's meant to hold stam yayin, then if that's what it's for, it's meant for stam yayin, then not temporarily, not it happens to have been used for something, that's what it's meant for, then the tam is absorbed in, even if it's not in the tank for 24 consecutive hours. Okay, even if there are times that it's completely empty, especially if it sits there for a few days, but even if it's never 100, not always, like in regular coverage, it has to be 24 consecutive hours. You go out for 5 minutes, that's no coverage. But over here, it doesn't work like that. Okay, here, if it's machnis lekim, it's meant there for long-term storage, then it is a coverage happens even if there are times when it's empty. Now, seemingly, generator is an example of that. If we have a generator that's used, it's been used for the past year, that's also it's made to make wine vinegar in it. So we said before that there might not be covers because the liquid never sits in one place for 24 hours. But this tank is meant to hold, it's meant to hold wine vinegar. That's what it's for. It's just keep wine in there, wine alcohol and then wine vinegar in there for about 2 days it sits in there for. So the fact that at every minute there might be a little bit, it might be in and out, what my sense is it's always the thing, especially the bottom part of the pool on the bottom, which is holding the product in all the time, then is machnis lekim. Whether the shavings qualify for machnis lekim is not so clear. I'm not too sure about that. Could be those are more like this. There's another thing of a cup. You have a cup that you use for wine, that's not machnis lekim, because you just put it in to take it out. So I'm not sure where we should put the shavings, whether they should be classified like that or not. But the tank on the bottom, for sure, is an example of machnis lekim, because it holds wine, it's meant for wine all the time. That's what it holds. Again, and even if it switches out from one product to the other, or it's empty a little bit, that doesn't make a difference. Now, so those, they have a belief through machnis lekim. Now, one of the din of stam yayin, the most obvious, the most basic din is that if someone who's not Jewish touches it, then the wine becomes usur. If the wine was mevushel, and then if it was kosher till it was mevushel, then if someone touches, the guy touches it afterwards, it's not a problem once it's mevushel. What happens if the wine became usur as stam yayin, and what happens if it became usur as stam, it was usur as stam yayin, and then it became vinegar, it stays usur. But if it was kosher till it became vinegar, then it can't become usur once it's already vinegar. Even if it was not mevushel, it's so different from wine that if it's already mevushel, it can't become usur. So that means to say is, this is a question people have asked, is that I have wine vinegar, and it has hashgach on it, but I don't know if it's mevushel or not. What do I do if a guy touches it? So the answer is, if it is kosher to the point that it became vinegar, at this point, once it's already wine vinegar, it cannot become treif anymore. Had it been treif before, if you take wine and you turn it into vinegar, that's a mishnah. The mishnah says, no, wine that was treif, that became vinegar, stays treif. But if it was still kosher when it became vinegar, it cannot become treif once it was vinegar already. Okay. Next is chametz. Okay, so malt vinegar is obviously chametz. It's made from barley. That's what you make malt vinegar out of. Okay, and sometimes white distilled vinegar will also be chametz because if you made the alcohol out of wheat, and there's such a thing. In the United States, almost everybody who makes white distilled vinegar makes it from corn, which is to say that it's kidneys. So we can't eat it on Pesach if it's kidneys, but you can own it. You don't have to get rid of it. And rice vinegar is also obviously kidneys. Usually it's kidneys. So you could keep it on Pesach. You don't have to throw it out. But we'll sell it, but you're not allowed to use it itself. Okay? There are companies that make white distilled vinegar from chametz, and they're very uncommon in the United States. In other countries, it's much more common. Okay? Now, in the United States also, we assume that the nutrients and even the yeast are assumed to be made from kidney so-so, and therefore we treat them similarly, which is to say we don't eat it, something made with those, but we don't need to get rid of it. Okay, now, so the that already tells us that why we have to be sensitive about vinegar for Pesach, because it could be chametz or kidneys, very likely to be chametz or kidneys. Okay, now, apple cider vinegar is a kind of a vinegar that potentially can be without any chametz or kidneys. The sugar that comes from is apple. Okay, we're good there. It's made from apples. You have to make sure. We have to make sure the we don't make put yeast in that are chametz, obviously, and we have to make sure the kalim are okay. We have to make sure of that also. But we at least we're starting off on a good foot. We're starting with something that's pretty safe. White distilled vinegar could also be made from kosher Pesach. To do that, the difficulty with that is to make sure we get an alcohol that's kosher Pesach, which is possible. You can make it from potatoes or, I don't know, some other things like that, or from sugar. But that would be a hard one thing to do. And then, again, kalium-wise and nutrient-wise, you have to make sure that those things were made kosher Pesach. Okay, now, there's another way that people make that something that's equivalent to vinegar. It's not called vinegar, but it's equivalent to vinegar. And that is something called glacial acetic acid. Glacial acetic acid is made from petroleum. It doesn't have any of the issues we talked about now. It's not sensitive in any of the ways we talked about now. It's not made anything like that. It's made from petroleum. excuse me. But legally, I'm pretty sure that legally, if you take glacial acetic acid, which is it's 100% acetic acid, and you water it down to 5% of strength, you're not allowed to legally call that vinegar. So you could use it to make pickles, and you can use it even to make salad dressing if you want to. You can even sell it to people as something to use like vinegar, but you have to find a way to label it. I believe there's labeling requirements that you can't just call it vinegar, even though it has the same, both 5% acetic acid, you're not allowed to call it that. You have to find some other way to use it. So there are people for Pesach, for Pesach, it's too hard to get real Pesach vinegar, so they make something out of glacial acetic acid. Okay, last but not least is about kashering, and we talked about this, most of these points. this special kula about kashering after kavish or machnis lekim of stam yayin that we could use milu v'iri. And we also saw how difficult it is to kasher a generator. First of all, because we have to get rid of all the alcohol and vinegar just to clean out the beechwood shavings is its own a huge job. But also that we have to restart it, which is a huge undertaking. It would require the equipment to be down for a long time. And a lot of these issues, in general that I spoke about now, but in particular about the kashering, came up in the 1980s when there was what they called the vinegar crisis. When they found out that one of the people who was supplying grain neutral spirits to a lot of kosher users that they were going to use to turn into vinegar, that person was making his grain neutral spirits by distilling non-kosher wine. It had to do with market prices at the time. They were distilling non-kosher wine. So it turned out that the grain neutral spirits were stam yayin, which meant that the vinegar was usher stam yayin. The isser stayed with it even when it became vinegar. And then one of the serious issues they had to deal with. So not only did they have to deal with the fact that the food that had been made with that, the ketchup and mustard and all the other foods that had been made with it were not kosher, that was one half of the problem. The other half of the problem was, okay, how do we turn those kalim back into being kosher, which is quite a halachic challenge to make that kashering. Was one of the things that came up at that time.